Brett Hayes is associate professor of political science at Union College and a regular here on WAMC. He's so bright, and I love having him here. Trump is now down to about 34% in a recent Gallup poll, 33% in another poll. So what is falling when your polls fall that way? What does a number like that mean?
That's a really good question. If we're looking at it in historical context, as you well know, this is the lowest approval rating for a president this early on in their presidency. There have been lower approval ratings. Gallup once, I think in 1952, had Truman at 22%, right? Mm. But that was late in his presidency, not early in his presidency. And this is usually the honeymoon period. And oftentimes for presidents, this is their high watermark for popularity. And as time goes by, they become less popular, except for right before they leave office when people become a bit more sentimental. So what does it mean? Well, it means that presidents usually have a reservoir of political capital to spend on their priorities, right? Help get members of their party in line, and maybe even push people across the aisle to get on board for certain types of issues. But Trump does not seem to have that, right? And so some of what you've seen from Trump is, of course, a function of his personality, but it's also a function of the lack of political capital. I mean, he's, you know, when thinking about the healthcare reform effort, he was attempting to bully people into voting to repeal the Affordable Care Act. And that doesn't work, right? In other words, that kind of effort, absent a lot of political capital, is not going to pay dividends. And, you know, in some ways it looked like it hardened, particularly for Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, when he started to call her out, when he started to kind of threaten her politically. You know, she just pushed back and dug in.
This is a woman who was elected on stickers, by the way, when they tried that the last time with her. So, but I wanted to ask you something, because this is where it gets wicked. 75% apparently of the Republicans in this country heavily approve of what Donald Trump is doing. And that means that before a congressman or a senator risks going into a primary, perhaps with a Trump-endorsed candidate against them, it might make a big difference that so many Republicans still love him.
I think you do see that, right? I mean, there has been all of these moments where you kind of expected, particularly mainstream Republicans, if I can use that particular phrase, to distance themselves from Trump, right? Whether it's on something like his statements on North Korea, we've seen more distance with regard to what happened in Charlottesville. But in the past, we kept on looking for like, okay, well, people are going to really come back and say that they're not on board with the president here, that this is a bridge too far, and we haven't really seen that. And I think in some ways there's a lot of uncertainty about where the Republican Party is, right? If you're thinking about the entirety of the party, where its strength is, and what the direction moving forward is, that I think many members of Congress and the Senate are a bit wary as to try to figure out whether in fact Trump represents and Trump voters represent the future, or whether in some ways that was a moment in time where things will kind of go back to the norm and they can continue to take kind of more conventional conservative positions, you know, across the board on whether that's on things like healthcare, whether that's on things like trade, whether that's on things like infrastructure. I think there's just a lot of uncertainty right now about what to make of the new realities that Trump and Trump voters have wrought.
So if there's a three-way primary or a four-way primary and there's a Trump-endorsed candidate in that primary doesn't win, if that happens, that's got to tell Republicans, hey, I got a certain amount of safety here based on the fact that his word, when he goes out and says of his candidate, go kill somebody else, it doesn't always work that way.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, some of these early special elections may, in fact, be a bit of a test in that regard. We saw that with the primary in Alabama. where Trump kind of late to the game endorsed one candidate, but that candidate actually got a lower percentage of the GOP vote than did Moore, who was running very much as an evangelical candidate. But we'll have to see when during their runoff whether in fact there is some force behind Trump's popularity, because Trump is very popular in Alabama. And so to your point, you know, is this going to be something that then helps the candidate get over the hump?
So here I am. I'm a Senate candidate. I'm an incumbent senator. I have to worry, is this guy now so unpopular on a national scale that somehow it affects me? But also, if I dare to challenge him, will there be a primary opponent who will knock me out?
Yeah, you're kind of caught in the middle. And I think one of the other things, too, when you're thinking about some of this is about where's the money? You know, Trump has lost a few kind of high profile corporate members of advisory councils in the last several days. And it's worth thinking about whether the money will begin shifting away from Trump and Trump's people. You know, this is something we simply don't know. But money matters in politics. It matters for elections. And if in fact the money begins to slow, if the money begins to go elsewhere other than to Trump candidates, that's where I think you begin to see even further motivation to distance themselves from Trump, despite potential threats with being primaried.
Okay, so we only got 2 minutes, but Mitch McConnell now. Majority leader, supposed to be very sagacious, wise, been beaten almost unconscious by Trump, talking about what a bad guy he is and all the rest of it. His wife, McConnell's wife, Elaine Chao, being in the president's cabinet. And McConnell has to protect his people. He doesn't want to be minority leader. He wants to be majority leader. Puts him in a really rough spot.
It does put him in a rough spot. I think that the thing to me that helps McConnell is thinking about 2018. In the upcoming election, Democrats have to defend 25 seats. Republicans have to defend 8, right? In other words, that despite how bad things are going for Republicans right now, particularly looking at Trump and looking at the healthcare debacle, there's still a fairly good chance that Republicans could hold the Senate just based on the terrain alone. And if that's the case, McConnell can claim credit, right? He can say, like, well, look, Trump's approval ratings are terrible, but look what we did, right? Look what my leadership was able to do. If they lose the Senate, you know, then I think McConnell's position as the leader of the Republicans in the Senate could be up for grabs. But for now, you know, I think that the terrain of 2018 may actually do him some favors. And his long service to the Senate, to his party in the Senate, has created a lot of loyalty for him. So I don't think there's a lot of internal movement against McConnell. It's all coming from outside and with Trump.
We're out of time, but I do want to say in my last parting shot, yes, Nancy Pelosi lost the House, but she's still there.
Indeed she is.
Our wonderful friend Brad Hayes is Associate Professor of Political Science at Union College and, political scientist in residence right here. And we often come to him with the tough ones. Thank you so much, Brad.
Thank you, Alan.